love the street cafe. I'm on a street team. I love Meryl Streep in the flick, One True Thing. I love traffic. I love the colors, yellow and green. I like talk radio when they talk about things. Let's talk about things.
Extension 720, where we talk about things and we talk about pizza. Speaking of neighborhoods, we just talked about our Chicago neighborhood tour. Steve Dolinsky, who is the Hungry Hound over on ABC and a longtime award-winning food reporter here in Chicago.
With you.
Yes, that's right. I don't want to brag about the amount of James Beards we have together. But you're on a quest to bring neighborhood Chicago pizza downtown. And we're going to talk about this coming up in the segment. But that really is what this is. The Revival Food Hall pop-up is now active and ready to rock. And Steve Dolinsky is here in the studio. Good to see you, buddy.
You too. I'm very excited about this project. It's been kind of a passion project for the last month or so.
It seems like a no-brainer.
It is, because people come to Chicago, they want pizza, they go downtown, and they spend all their time in the Loop or in River North or wherever their hotel is, and they can't find that many pizzas. It's bizarre. You can find a lot of deep dish downtown. You can't find, you know, Palermo's 95th from Oakland. You can't find Pat's from Lincoln Park. It's been around since 1950 doing tavern style. And that always bugged me. Like, why can't you find neighborhood joints downtown? Because it's too expensive.
You're absolutely right. And downtown as well, not to harp on the downtown establishments, but maybe that's why you have hour and a half, 2 hour waits for some of the places on Ohio Street or wherever.
Probably. Yeah, I just feel like, well, that's what Revival does. They bring a lot of these neighborhood places downtown to the Loop, and it's Monday through Friday only. So it is mostly locals, and people are going there, you know, on their lunch breaks and stuff, but there are a lot of businesses in the area, and I think it's important for those folks to get something that's really local and speaks to the neighborhoods in Chicago.
Well, we're going to talk pizza tours, and what's happening at Revival Food Hall with
yes.
Steve Dolinsky coming up here after Andrea's News here on Extension 720, so stay with us.
He's the new sensation in the nation, Pizza Boy USA. He's the flying saucer innovation, Pizza Boy USA. He's getting ready now, listen to that crowd, he's a Pizza Boy USA.
He's also the author of Pizza City USA, 101 Reasons Why Chicago is America's Greatest Pizza Town. He does the Pizza City USA pizza tours throughout Chicago. He's also the Hungry Hound on ABC 7 here in Chicago, a longtime award-winning reporter. Good to see you, Steve.
Great to see you. Thanks for having me on this new show. Congratulations on the reboot.
Thanks, man.
And I want to have a band that follows me around like an I'm Gonna Get You Sucka with the Shaft theme.
With that song?
I want to have that song trail me down Michigan Avenue at the Pizza Boy. I would love that.
Yeah, a lot of people would buy the book.
They would buy the book. They'd take the tour. Who is that guy?
That's
he
what
smells
they
like garlic and oregano. That would be great.
You have been known to have, and I want to get into the Revival Food Hall stuff, but you've been known to have a pretty eclectic palate. That's one thing I've always loved about your diversity in the food that you would cover, whether it's Asian cuisine or some sort of hybrid or downtown restaurants. But you have landed on pizza,
yeah.
And it is now, you're making t-shirts, you got songs, you got books, you got tours. Why? Why pizza over all the other food that you've tasted in the world?
Kind of by accident, actually. Honestly, if I would have thought it would have been something that I'm really super duper passionate about, it might have been Korean food, and I was super jealous. The Tribune did a whole thing on New Koreatown this week. But pizza came up about 2-3 years ago because I'd read a listicle online saying these are the 7 hottest pizza places, and I thought it was kind of, you know, bunk because I didn't think that that person had done the research. And I thought, well, how difficult is it to go actually eat the pizza places and find out is there kind of a definitive order and what's the categories and rankings? And so I just took it upon myself to do it. It took me about the first wave was 76 places.
Yeah.
It took me about 3.5 months. I did 3 and 4 days. And then I got this book deal with Northwestern University Press. And then I did another 109. And so I kind of just sort of like a dog that bit into something and I just couldn't let it go.
It's obsessive.
It was a little obsessive because people would – this is the other thing about social media. People chime in. They're like, hey, if you don't go to Pudgy's in Hegwisch, this list is worthless. Hey, you better go to Phil's in Oaklawn. I'm telling you, Mr. Dolinsky. And don't forget about Barnaby's in Northbrook.
Do they freak out when you actually show up?
Well, yeah, because then I would post something about it from this place. Yeah, I went to this place. There are a lot of sacred cows in Chicago, and I talk about this in the book. I talk about the Pig Syndrome, pizza I grew up eating syndrome. Like my friends from Homewood and Flossmoor, they swear by Aurelia. Leo's is the best pizza in the world. You know, and I get that because you grew up with that pizza and that's your thing.
Right.
And so my whole approach was, hey, I grew up in Minnesota. I've lived in Chicago for 25 years. I don't have that bias about a Little League game or a sleepover or something that affected me as a child here. And so I come in with fresh eyes and everybody got a fair shake. There were nobody got a pass.
You are on the program because we want to talk about Revival Food Hall, but I think it fits into the theme tonight. We're talking about transformations, and for you to move from what you've done as a reporter for years, telling everybody's story, to telling the story of pizza, to curating now. I mean, you're making a transition, and this is a transformation, to where you are finding a way to continually develop your career.
Because the book is so much about, you know, telling people kind of where to go, what I liked, and what's interesting, and that there's more to Chicago than deep and stuffed. And, of course, my thesis is that we're a tavern-style, thin and crispy square-cut town. And so I kind of curate this, if you will, through the book, like, hey, you should try this, you should try this. A lot of people haven't heard a lot of these places, like My Pie, for example. And then the next step is someone asks me, hey, could you curate this pop-up series at this food hall in the Loop with very high visibility? You know, who would you bring in here? And so, yeah, I feel like they're entrusting me with, you know, something very sacred in Chicago when you talk about pizza.
Yeah.
You know, and who would you deem sort of noteworthy and locally grown and homegrown? You know, that's a big responsibility.
There is something really interesting about this concept in the way that Revival Food Hall is just one of several food halls that have popped up downtown Chicago. You're starting to see this trend around the country.
A ton of them, yeah.
This idea that it's essentially the food court. They've supersized the food court. A lot of small businesses and very elite food companies are coming in and serving their wares. But this idea of you coming in and saying, I'm going to pop up every 2 months, it's going to be a different pizza. I'm going to bring you my taste, my thoughts to this. That's something different. I mean, that's something that I feel at a certain point, we might see more of that. Chef's choices, restaurateurs' choices, things like that, where there are different ways to serve the clientele downtown than just a brick-and-mortar space.
Oh, yeah, because, listen, if you have the general manager of a food hall saying, I think this is good, versus a guy who's been covering pizza for quite a bit in Chicago saying, I think this is pretty good, I think that probably carries some weight, probably. And the good thing for us is we get visibility for the tours and the book, and there's Pizza City USA on this kiosk for the whole year. So it's good in that respect, too. But I remember, you know, Anthony Bourdain years ago, he was going to curate something on the west side of the city, and it got a lot of attention because, hey, here's somebody who's going to bring in these small mom and pops that they wouldn't come otherwise. I think that's the other thing. So when I reached out to, like, Pat's, you know, they trust me. There's a level of trust there because we've been doing tours with those guys, and they know what we're about. And I said, look, I'm not going to put you in a situation where you're going to flop. And there's a lot of testing back and forth. We went to check out the ovens quite a bit on Sundays just to make sure they worked with their style of pizza.
Well, that's the thing. You're going into a space that was already a pizza place, right? It was the Union.
Yes, it was Union Squared. But again, it's a specific, it's a blodget, it's a stone deck. It gets to 650. You can't do Neapolitan pizzas in there. So I couldn't get Spaccanopoli or Forno Rosso because those are wood-burning ovens. You can't use a place that needs to have 900 degrees, 800 degrees because it only gets to 650. Pat's issue was there's a steel deck at their oven in Lincoln Park, and they're not used to a stone deck, and stone is actually porous and it pulls more moisture from the bottom of the dough, and they already have a very dry dough at Pat's, so you don't need to have that situation. So it was a lot of testing with temperature and placement in the oven, and, you know, I want to make sure these guys showing their best, you know, their best foot forward.
And the idea of bringing a neighborhood place to downtown Chicago to essentially feed Chicagoans who may not be going out there. Well, who did you pick? Let's talk about this because it's a year-long thing.
It's a year-long, so every 3 months. So My Pie just started on Monday. Now, they've been around since 71. They are only 5 months younger than Lou Malnati's, which you can believe. There are 52 Lou's, I think, and there's one My Pie. Yeah, and so I've loved them since day one.
They're a staple in Bucktown, and they're in that, right there in the, where that 7-Eleven is at,
right? Yeah, there's like a Korean nail place
But that's what I mean. You would never
find them.
kind of unassuming.
Very unassuming, very hidden. And so if you don't know the place in Bucktown, you're never going to get it. And we take people there on the tour sometimes, and you know, they love it. They're like, I never knew this was here. They've been around since 71. So they're the first deep dish we're going to do, and they're now, Monday through Friday. The halls are from like 10:30 in the morning until 7 at night. The cool thing about they're doing, so you think deep dish, how am I going to eat a deep dish? They do personal pan pizzas all day long, like 7 or 8 different flavors. After 4 p.m., you can get a big, large pizza like the one I brought you here tonight, which is just gorgeous. In 3 months, it switches over middle of June to Pat's Pizza. So they've been around since 1950. Classic tavern style, thin and crispy, square cut. They're from North Lincoln Avenue. They're going to be there for 3 months this summer. And then in September is Dante's, which is a couple locations in the city, mostly Logan Square and Avondale. They do a New York style slice. Mm. And a lot of Chicagoans think, oh, we don't have that kind of style here. We do. Dante's is one of the best, I think. And then the last one is Palermo's 95th from Oak Lawn. Just a classic Chicago thin crust joint, a little sweeter sauce. So they like a little sugar on the south side. So that's going to be the hallmark there from December probably through March of next year. So full year of programming every 3 months. And we're going to do third Thursday tours. So the third Thursday of the month, we're going to offer a pizza tour that starts at Revival on Thursdays at 6 o'clock.
Do you, if an oven goes out or a light bulb burns out, are you on the hook? You got to go and fix that?
Nope. Nope. My job, I am not the owner. I am not the proprietor. I'm the curator.
You're the curator.
I'm the curator.
It's a good gig.
And we get some exposure for our brand. And, you know, pizzacityusa.com is great. And people should come and take the tour, too.
All right. Well, we'll come back more with Steve Dolinsky here on Extension 720. We'll talk more about pizza and other things about Chicago food before we wrap up the hour at 10 o'clock. Extension 720, stay with us.
I don't want to be no personal pizza. I just want to live my life. I don't want to eat no personal pizza. Baby, give me just one slice.
In studio with us, Steve Dolinsky and a huge My Pie pizza.
It's
huge. That thing is huge. Who can eat that?
This is like the 14-incher. So you can get these after 4 p.m. from Revival. You can get them catered too. Revivalfoodhall.com.
Oh, really?
.com.
And Revival is down on Adams. It's by the old post office.
It's the old CPS headquarters.
Oh, yeah, right.
125 South Clark Street. Accessible by the Monroe stop on the Blue Line, I believe.
Do the protesters sometimes forget that that's not the CPS headquarters anymore? Anytime you ever saw CPS headquarters, it's because protesters were.
I've never seen anybody outside saying we want a contract, but it's really, there's a lot of people in there for lunch. A lot of people for lunch. They do a few thousand people run through there. I mean, there are so many offices down in the loop. And then, of course, people stick around and like the companies will buy them dinner and they have events, I think, in the building in the summertime outside. So there's a lot of activity there. And it's nice for these pizzerias because, you know, like in these neighborhoods, they're not doing a ton of business on a Monday or Tuesday afternoon.
Right.
And so they're coming downtown now. And I just saw Rich Aronson from My Pie downstairs, brought the pizza over. And he looked a little, you know, ashen. He looked a little tired because he's been on his feet all day. And he's not used to this in Bucktown. It's a little quieter. So it's cool. And he's like, I'm glad there's a light at the end of the tunnel. It's 3 months and, you know, you work hard for 3 months and then we move on.
Revival is one of the forefathers of the food hall resurgence of the last couple of years, but there are newer food halls now. The lunch options in downtown Chicago have grown immeasurable in the last 5 years.
Yeah, there's one right off of, it's like 55 Monroe. There's a Well Street Market, which is really good. There's at least a dozen places in there. I mean, Revival tries to do neighborhood places. There's Astor Hall up on North Michigan Avenue. That's Brendan Sotikoff's Hog Salt Group in Bloomingdale's, up in the 9th floor, which is not so, you know, easy to get to from the street. But you know, is there going to be saturation? I think so. We're kind of headed that way because I know Urban Space is coming to town from London. They're going to do 2 food halls. One is going to be in Willis Tower where they're spending a bunch of money redoing the whole first 2 floors of Willis. There's going to be a big food hall in there. So, but I, you know, listen, if you work in that area and you don't bring your lunch to work.
Why not do that?
Why not? Because it's like you don't want to leave the building. You've got lots of options. The cool thing, like at Revival, does a permanent pop-up every couple of months. There's a new space in there, and so besides the pizza. And so it gives you an option, I think, and people get tired of eating the same thing all the time. So I kind of like the fact that you have all these options, and they are very high-quality operators. There's the Sbarro's, I think, those days are over.
You know, it is interesting because the James Beard Awards will be coming up here. It's a to-do here in Chicago for the food industry in the beginning of May, end of April. But there was an article that came out in the last year in Chicago Magazine that said maybe Chicago's time as a foodie capital is past.
Yeah.
And I thought about you because I know that you have lived through trying to be a booster for Chicago, whether it be in New York or L.A. or wherever it might be, saying this is the town for it to actually happen, and it happened. Is there some truth to the article that Chicago is that title might be moving on?
Yeah, there was some truth to it. It hit a lot of people very hard, I think, in the restaurant industry. You know, like I said, I've been raising the flag for 20-some years. I took issue with some of the things he talked about. You know, we don't cover the immigrant restaurants, immigrant communities enough. He was comparing it to suburban Atlanta. There's some really great eating out there, and Houston even, too. And we have that in Chicago, but it's not covered enough. It is covered more now, I think. You know, people at the Tribune are doing it. Mike Gebert at Fooditor does a great job with it, but probably not enough. You know, a lot of the media tends to focus on what's downtown and what's easy to cover and sort of and doesn't do that. And, you know, some of the things they said, like, we are kind of dominated by restaurant groups between Let Us Entertain You and Hog Salt and the Boca Group. Those five restaurant groups control, and One-Off Hospitality control about 25 or 30, way more than that, actually, about 50 restaurants with lettuce. So that was one of the complaints. You know, why can't you get live charcoal in Korean barbecues? Why can't you have more rice flour in the dough and for the banh mi sandwiches in Vietnamese restaurants? So, I mean, I agree with some of that, but I think that...
Is there an expectation from Chicago diners because there was such an explosion here, and there were so many great restaurants that came on so fast, and some of them that are world renowned. Alinea is one that comes to mind. That they're suffering from higher expectations. That they're now everybody wants an experience. They go to a restaurant and they're going to spend the kind of money that these restaurants are asking for. They want it to their mind to be blown. And if you don't do that, do they come back? Do they walk away going, it's not what I thought it was?
Well, no, I think people come to Chicago to eat for sure, because we are always in some kind of an annual roundup of some magazine or in-flight thing or online roundup. So people come here, they know they're going to eat. And there are places to meet that demand. Besides Alinea, you can go to Oriole or Smith or Elsk, or, you know, there's lots of places to find, even Blackbird, which is 20 years old, still killing it. So there are fantastic places to eat here. But, you know, at the end of the day, I am boots on the ground, you know, in the most granular way, in terms of, like, I'll go to a Niles strip mall and have Korean food. And today I was on the west side. I mean, literally the west side, eating fried chicken. But I think at the end of the day, people, as much as we are sophisticated, people in Chicago love barbecue and fried chicken and burgers and tacos. I see a lot of that coverage, you know, five new hot taco places and six places to get brunch. I mean, I just,
As somebody who has traveled the world reporting on food, what do you think Chicago needs to get better at?
I think we need to have chefs that can really push the envelope beyond the beets and goat cheese and trout and sort of the familiar. And I think that a lot of people worry that if they do something too out of the box, it's not going to sell. And when you go to places like in Australia, where they really understand breakfast, the breakfasts I've had in Sydney and Melbourne are just mind-blowing. Better than anything in New York, for sure. Just the treatment they have for the ingredients, where they source the ingredients from, what they put on the plate. It's not just eggs and bacon and pancakes for breakfast. It's really creative cooking. And I just feel like, you know, New York to some extent too, we don't have that in Chicago a lot of times. I think they tend to play it a little bit safer, unless you're well capitalized, you come from a restaurant group and you have the money and the ability to do that. You know, Rick Bayless can afford to put in a 24-foot hearth at Lena Brava and just do wood-fired cooking and no gas, because he's got a reputation and people come for his cooking. You know, not everybody can do that. And I wish we had more of that, though. I wish there was more experimentation. And they do a lot with small spaces in New York City that we just don't do here as well.
You know, the James Beard Awards coming through. Do you have any thoughts on who we might see when the nominations come out for restaurant opportunity, or, you know, for chefs and for restaurants and things like that? Are we? Is there anything that's on your radar that's like, oh, this is their year?
Could be. Well, I didn't even see the semifinalists. I was trying to think who was on there. But, you know, the guys from Boca are always up for a restaurant tour. I think this could be their year for sure. Chicago's always good for one or two awards. You know, we got smoked last year. I think we got, like, just one award. It was Fat Rice was Best Chef Great Lakes Region. We're usually good for that one. Meg Gallis from the Boca Group, probably up for Pastry Chef, has a very good chance. I would love to see Cellar Door Provisions get something. Julia Kramer wrote a great piece in Bon App this month about them. She's originally from Chicago, and she lives in New York now, and she just had this beautiful love letter to Cellar Door Provisions. Bitty Adia Zeta Goza on the Southwest Side was nominated for Service, which was kind of interesting. So I'd like to see the little neighborhood joints get a shout out. Not that, you know, the places in River North don't deserve it, but I'd like to see the not so well capitalized places get some press love.
Well, you can go get some of the neighborhood pizzas down at Revival Food Hall. You can get a Revival. Is it revivalfoodhall.com?
Revivalfoodhall.com. Yeah, you can get catering from there, I guess. But yeah, come and see us down in the Loop every day, Monday through Friday only. And like I say, my pie's there now for the next three months. The deep dish is phenomenal. If you haven't had their deep dish, you've got to try it. It's very, very good.
And it is a favorite among the staff here, the nighttime staff that's already gone through.
I see that. They're chowing on it. And go to pizzacityusa.com and check out a tour.
There you go. Steve Dolinsky, great to see you. Thanks for being here, bud.
Thanks, Justin. Thanks for having me.